I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, I'll share a few thoughts in my Can I Just Tell You essay. But now it's time for our Wisdom Watch conversation. That's the part of the program where we speak with those whose work has made a difference. Today, we are speaking with a hip-hop pioneer. Even casual listeners of contemporary music have most likely heard of the rap trio Run-DMC. They dominated the scene in the early 1980s and helped make rap music one of this country's most popular musical genres. They did it with danceable beats, interesting, accessible lyrics, as well as collaborations like this 1986 hit with Aerosmith called Walk This Way. As often happens, members of the group eventually went their separate ways. But Run, Joseph Simmons, went in what some might find a particularly interesting direction. He became an ordained minister in the Pentecostal tradition, married his high school sweetheart, Justine, and they went on to star together in a popular reality show on MTV called Run's House. And we thought this holiday season might be a good time to hear from him. And Joseph Simmons, Reverend Run, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
As we mentioned, you are an ordained minister at this stage of your life. I'm betting that there are some people who only know you as Reverend Run, right? I'm guessing there's like a whole generation of people for whom that's the primary reason they know you. How did your call to ministry happen? Was it like a gradual process? Was it like a thunderclap?
It was like a gradual thunderclap. So it's a little of both. I made the album Raising Hell. Then we made the record Tougher Than Leather. Around Tougher Than Leather, I started to feel a little uncomfortable. Saw some funny things happening around me. Record sales weren't as high as they was. I was a little unhappy with what was going on. So I started going to church. And when I started going to church, started to feel better. Things were starting to look brighter for me. I started to see that learning the principles of God was helping to shape my life better. And in the black church, most people know that when you're in the church, you're going to do something. You're going to be on the choir. You're going to be a deacon. You're going to be a on the board. You're going to be an usher. You know, something that we do in the church is where you take a kind of a position. And next thing you know, after doing some ushering and I was a deacon, you know, to give you these titles, I ended up being a reverend.
Well, how did you envision your life unfolding once you decided to take that route?
I didn't know how it was going to unfold at first, but I started to become very passionate in watching the pastors and different churches and different places. And I saw how grounded and how organized their families were and how cool they were. So I thought that this would be great for me to, as I was becoming a minister, you know, just kind of like the collar got wrapped around my neck. I don't know how it happened. I started an usher. I ended up a reverend. And I thought it was something that was pretty creative about being a reverend, pretty cool about words of wisdom and speaking to people and speaking into their lives. So, you know, it was a certain, in my mind, a swag about it. We ended up getting the show on MTV with me and my wife and my kids. People were looking at me as I was becoming a reverend saying, you know, this is a reality show, man. Like, rapper become reverend. And I was like, oh, really? Never thought of it like that. Next thing you know, that became my pulpit, just for me, I have a platform to help people in their lives. You know, it was a standard that I was setting.
Well, yeah, hold on a second. Let me play a short clip from the series. As we mentioned, your reality show Run's House was popular. It ran a number of seasons, and you really made a point of showcasing your role as not just a, you know, entertainer, but as dad. And I just want to play a short clip from that. Here it is.
Ah, isn't this such a beautiful sight? Sun pounding down on my bald head. You see this sweat, Dig? It's the sweat of a father that loves you.
I love you, but don't touch me with that sweat.
You came here not wanting to have fun, because you were too cool to let go and enjoy the family vacation. But come on, Dig, you know you loved it here.
I liked it.
To tell the truth, you've really become a man on this trip. And I vow to you, treat you like a man. You're only going to get man jobs. That means you're going to have to pay the bills, talk to the accountants, get up at 6 a.m. and drive yourself to school.
Okay. Yes, it...
Pretty crazy.
The story went from there. As we mentioned, you're obviously, I mean, maybe if people don't get that, this is where you're talking to your son, you're trying to impart, which is a lot of what the program was about, trying to impart some life lessons. Who were you hoping would watch the show and benefit from it?
Everybody.
Well, what about that? You know, one of the reasons this interests me, well, a couple of reasons, is that a lot of people who have been through the reality show experience, their families have really suffered as a result. The Real Housewives of D.C., for example, all of the principals in that show either are separated or divorced now, Were you ever concerned that this would have an impact on your family life?
I went into it not so much for fame. I went into this show, it was my ministry. I told my family that from the beginning. We will show our family on television, but we will teach. Each show had a lesson, and it was a truth. I was always teaching a lesson in my house anyway. And at the end of every show, I'd do a word of wisdom from my bathtub. And that's what I was doing anyway. I'd send out words in the morning to my friends, and wherever the show was, because there's always a conflict in your home. So there'd be a conflict. I would try to solve it on camera, whether it was my son breaking his Game Boy over and over or whatever it is. I'd wait until the cameras were rolling to solve a problem and bring it to a good head and then do the word of wisdom at the end. So we weren't so caught up in it where it affected us the way it has some other families because it was a ministry.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We are speaking with hip-hop legend Reverend Run. He was the Run in Run DMC. We're talking about his long career, what he's up to now, and hopefully he's going to share some wisdom with us in a few minutes. You mentioned growing up in Hollis, which is in Queens. You know, I have to play. It is that holiday season. I've got to play a little bit from Christmas in Hollis. I must drop
okay.
it. It is that time of year.
Hit it.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. But then I was feeling good, the man had a beard and a bag full of booty, 12 o'clock at night. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he must have dropped his wallet back dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause. Took out the lights and then it cold said Santa Claus. $1 million in it, cold hundreds of G's. Enough to buy a boat, magic car with ease. But I never feel for Santa, cause that ain't right. So I was going home to mail it back to him that night. But when I got home, I bumped, cause under the tree was a letter from Santa and the door's for me.
Who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love that?
I wrote that, and the time it just jumped in my mind, and I just flowed. My pen just kind of took over.
I was going to ask you that. Where did you get
over
the idea?
Well, an old publicist of mine, Bill Adler, called with an opportunity to be on an album called Special Olympics. And I was just sitting there, and I came up with this story about a kid running into Santa Claus on Hollis Avenue, Santa Claus losing his wallet, the kid having a good heart, trying to return the wallet, and Santa Claus sending back the wallet saying, thank you for returning it, but I dropped it on purpose. I saw you looking at me. That money was for you. And that was, it was funny, great, but it was also a story of a kid trying to do the right thing and passing the test and God saying, well done, good job. So I was a reverend before I was a reverend.
You were. I was going to say you were a reverend before you were a reverend. And one of the things about this song, I think a lot of people still love this song. Did you, at the time, you know, one of the things that's so funny about it is at the time, you know, hip-hop rap was seen as so transgressive. And now it's, as we know, one of the top musical genres in the United States. At the time when you put the song out there, did you think you were doing something, you know, out of the box? Or did it just seem, did it seem as special as it was?
My father was a poet. And he actually, I have that in me. You know, I was right. It was poetry for me. When I finished that rhyme, in my heart, like I said, the pen was taken over. I couldn't, it was almost like I wasn't writing. Sometimes stars line up or whatever it is, it just fell in place. And the rhyme meant a lot to me that, you know, I was going back to mail Santa his wallet that night and got home my bug because under the tree was a letter from Santa. And the dough was for me. I knew that was a powerful, interesting, funny, incredible rhyme.
But and also, you mentioned earlier that you kind of feel in a way you've always had ministry in you. You are now working as a paid spokesperson, it has to be said, on a diabetes awareness campaign, partnering with Novo Nordisk. I want to mention here, they're also NPR underwriters. But how did you get interested in this? You yourself don't suffer from diabetes.
No, I don't have diabetes, but my father did. My manager, his father died from complications of diabetes, and he called me about it, and I told him, you know what, my father also had diabetes. He's like, whoa. And he's like, Rev, you're at that age, you're 48 years old, once you get 45, you're African-American, then you are at risk. As a matter of fact, African-Americans are at risk double the amount. So we had a meeting with over at Novo Nordisk, and I told them, you know, they knew I was a minister and I was a reverend, and I knew at that moment that it was God calling me. So this is my message, that health is your first wealth. A lot of people are afraid to get tested. They don't want to know the answer. And I'm like, Rev, I'm scared. And I just tell them, do it afraid. Afraid might not leave, but do it afraid, and you'll conquer this. When I'm speaking about diabetes and telling people to get screened, they know that it's coming from a pure place, a place where not only am I telling them, but I'm eating better. Everything is in moderation, and I lost 22 pounds, so I'm happy about that. I'm still losing weight and made a decision today to have, you know, half a piece of bread, because we know that bread turns into sugar. And I didn't have a real burger. I had a turkey burger. It doesn't taste exactly the same, but you know, I had my share of real burgers, so I can calm down a little bit.
What's next for you? I mean, as a person who achieved real success and fame at a very young age, and many people might know that you are in a number of halls of fame, for example. I mean, your place in, you know, music history in this country is well assured at this point. I mean, you're still a young man. I mean, so what's next?
Ministry is my top priority. I mean, I did a couple of shows with Daryl DMC earlier this year, but this is it. I have a book coming called Manology with a close friend of mine, Tyrese Gibson, of Transformers fame and of Fast and Furious. And we're talking to people about relationships.
Well, can you give us a hint?
Yeah, the book is called Manology. And it's coming out.
Give us a taste.
And then, well, I can't let the cat out the bag. I can tell you that Manology is going to be raw, uncomfortable truth for some people. It's a big deal. And it'll be out in February.
You've been offering some words of wisdom, but as you mentioned, you used to offer words of wisdom from the bathtub at the end of your reality show. What's up with the bathtub, by the way? Why were you in the bathtub?
I take baths.
Well, like, yeah, I do too.
I need to be clean. No, everybody takes showers.
Was that where you did your good thinking?
I relax in the bathtub.
But do I have it right that you had bubbles? You did have bubbles in the bathtub.
And I had to have bubbles on the show. You didn't want to see all of what was going on. That's not what you're here for.
I got you. Before we let you go, can you offer us some words of wisdom? As we mentioned, this is the segment we call Wisdom Watch, where we like to ask people if they have some wisdom to share.
I do.
Can you share some?
Something jumped right in my mind when you said that, and that is, do what you got to do so you can do what you want to do. You have to go get tested. You want to live a happy life. So for me, whatever it is that's the responsibility that's ahead of you, you have to make sure that you take responsibility so you can have a good life. You know what I mean?
Reverend Run, the Run of the pioneering rap group Run DMC, is now a motivational speaker, an ordained minister in the Pentecostal tradition, a hip-hop pioneer and legend. He was kind enough to join us from our bureau in New York. Reverend Run, thank you so much for speaking with us. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you. Snow's on the ground, snow white so bright.